Welcome to Confident You Podcast. Marian Swingler here, excited for tonight. We have a special guest that is a DJ, but he's more than just a DJ. I'm excited to hear him tell you exactly all of the amazing, confident things that he's done through his life. So let's get to it. Welcome to the platform, DJ Reese.
Marian, what's going on? Everybody, what's going on? Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I really do.
My goodness. No, the appreciation is all mine. I appreciate you being here with me this evening. You see, I'm displaced. I'm not in my normal location, but I am grateful to have you here with me. Could you tell us where you're joining us from?
And live from Defford, New Jersey, in the No Stress Zone studio at my crib.
There it is. So, DJ Reese, tell everyone what it all entails to be DJ Reese. What do you do?
Well, you got to be a multitasker. You got to be on some entrepreneurship level. Man, got to be motivated, got to be confident. And you got to believe in yourself and go for your goals and just strive.
Go for your goals and strive. So tell everyone what goals it is that you're going for presently in your life and how you're striving.
All right. So, my main goal should be just be the best person I can be every single day. You know, that's my main goal, just being better every single day, whether it's DJing, whether it's voiceovers, whether I'm editing audio, whether I'm reading books for self-improvement, whether I'm educating the youth. That's my goal, is to be better every single day.
To be better every single day. So how did your days on this earth begin? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm a son of two immigrant parents who hail from Nigeria, first generation. Majority of my life, I grew up in South Jersey. Went to Catholic school for almost all my whole entire life. Even went to Franciscan College for a couple of years. I mean, that's how I grew up. Started off in education. Always had the love for music. And just as I got older, the love and love for music grew more. Got into DJing. Got into radio. Luckily, got into voiceovers. You know, I feel like I was at the right moment at the right time.
Okay.
And, got into a lot of other stuff. You know, I said education, but even on a different level, I used to be a school teacher, but then now I'm on the education equity side too, which is really cool through my company. So it's not in the sense that I'm a, you know, employee, but, you know, I'm an employer. So it's full-fledged entrepreneurship, you know?
I want you to explain to everyone what your family dynamic is. Just give them a brief.
All right, let's get into it. So, both of my parents, they're from Nigeria, Imo State. That's the tribe. That's the village. And very, very strict parents who worked very hard. My dad, he worked in psychology. My mom, school teacher, still a school teacher to this day. But I grew up three sisters, two older, one younger. But just a household that was very much in the church, very much into discipline. Yeah, just a very serious household. You know, that's how I grew up.
Very serious household. There was an interesting thing that you told me about your mother before she was your mother.
Yes.
If you would not mind sharing.
All right. So, ladies and gents, this might sound crazy. My mom used to be a nun. Used to be a nun in the convent before she had kids. And then decided to, you know, that's not what she wanted to do anymore. Switched the path, you know, produce some babies, some wonderful babies. And I'm here today.
And you're here today. You're here today. Now, I do want to get into your love of music. How did that begin?
All right. I want to say right at the tender age of five. So it's interesting being the only boy in my household, but I wasn't really in my very early stages. I wasn't really outside a lot. Wasn't really allowed to go out and, just hang outside, play, do those things. So I was constantly in my room. And I still have this boombox to this day, but you know, my boombox was like my best friend. My dad also was an entrepreneur too, as well. He had a store in Woodbury, New Jersey, local neighborhood store, where he actually sold hair products. I mean, sold everything, but just for me. I don't know if females remember that perm kit, but yeah, I used to be the guy that would open up the kit, take the cassettes out, re-record over on the radio, or just re-record, you know, record over and do my own thing. Just talking, trying to rap, all that good stuff. But yeah, that's just my love of music really started just really being home, being in my room, you know, just listening to my boombox. That was my best friend. That my boombox didn't disappoint me. Music didn't disappoint me. And that's where the love really, you know, fostered.
And you said didn't disappoint you. So how else did music allow you to express yourself? Because you mentioned that you were in your room listening to the radio. So how did that groom into something else in your life?
Yeah. So like the music brought the emotions, the feelings. So, you know, in Nigerian culture, you know, I think most people are familiar with this, you know, expressing yourself in certain households is more of like talking back or being disrespectful. So for me, you know, music gave me an outlet. You know, I had a pen and a pad. I was able to write down my thoughts. When certain songs would come on, they would really touch me. You know, it would resonate with me. Like, you know, I really feel what this person is talking about. Like this is like, it's like almost I was saying this. So like music really hit me. Like it really brought out the emotions in me. And, you know, I would have those internal conversations even at that early age. But yeah, music did everything for me. Allowed me to express myself, allowed me to feel, allowed me to be happy when I wanted to be happy. Like, you know, music was everything. It's not was, but is everything.
Okay, so music was and is everything. What else? You've discussed how your family dynamic was and how music has played a role in you being able to express yourself emotionally. What else did those nights in your room or those days in your room listening to music, what else did that foster for you?
Oh, man. I mean, confidence, too, as well. So, like, even just working on my voice. So, like, even when I would be in the room looking at the mirror, rapping, talking in the mirror, talking about, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Like, it really, because like one thing with hip hop too, I feel like, you know, to be a hip hop artist, you know, I feel like that's like one genre where you really have to be confident. Like, you really have to talk your talk. And yeah, that did that for me. Like, I feel like that even played a role even in the voiceover side, like just being confident with your voice, using your voice, manipulating it a certain way. You know, I just felt comfortable to just, you know, say things and say it however, you know, however I want it. It gave me the imagination, you know.
Wow. It gave you the imagination. So with that imagination of a little boy, moving on up into your teenage years, on into your early 20s, where did you find yourself in music in that imagination?
Man, so in my 20s. I mean, again, like I interned for Capitol Records. I worked at major radio stations like Z100, Hot 97, 98.7 Kiss FM. But that really, like, it just gave me full opportunity. Like, even at one point, you know, I thought I was going to be a record label exec. Like, I thought I would be the guy, like, you know, ushering the artists, and then they come in the studio and really be like that producer, like, yo, You need more bass on there. You need more drum. You need more kicks. Or say it like this. Don't say it like that. It gave me that authority. Like, it gave me that authority in my life. And just authority in things. Like, yo, I can, if I want something, you know, I can speak out. You know, I can say this. I can say that. So it really instilled confidence in myself to just be me. Be myself.
Okay, so you're talking about that confidence and that authority. How was that looked upon in that strict household? Was that something that, was that gifting you celebrated?
Absolutely not. Still not celebrated to this day. But yeah, it's you know, growing up as a kid, you know, foreign culture, it's more of like, you know, you're of service, you know, only speak when you're spoken to. Don't complain about anything because you're just lucky to be alive. You're lucky to get your, you know, your two or three meals. Like, you're lucky to have a bed. So don't ask for too much. Don't say anything. Whatever your parents tell you to do, you just do it. You don't really have a voice. Don't try to even think for yourself. God forbid, you know. So that's how it was. Wow.
So what was the expectation for your life? If so you weren't allowed to think, I'm assuming that there was an expectation of what you were supposed to do and be.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, first off, you know, be told what to do. So meaning if I'm going to college, like, all right, you're going to major in this. All right, you're supposed to be a doctor. This is supposed to be your career. Oh, you want to get married? All right, we're going to pick your wife too. Oh, you want to, you think you're going to move over state? Like, no, you got to stay close to home and stay, you know, stay in Jersey. Don't move anywhere. It's basically like, you know, having a very simple life. Like, don't explore anything. You're lucky to have a job, produce kids, work more than 8 hours a day, and that's your life. That's
how
it.
How do you feel about that statement? You're lucky to have a job. What is your belief on that?
Oh man, I mean, I guess in some people's case, that's cool. But for me, it's just a crazy statement.
What's the statement that you would make about having a job?
I mean, I'll say this: you know, everybody's not meant to do their own thing or create income for themselves. You know, we have the capabilities, but the reality is everybody's not going to put that work in. Everybody's not going to go hard for themselves. But for me, though, I feel like you got to create your own way. You got to create your own path. You can't rely on a check every 2 weeks because it may stop, you know, and you could go into a situation where, you know, they're like, oh, we don't like you. Bye. You're out of here. And that could be your situation. Like, that was my situation when I had jobs. But it was more of a sense like, you know, you got to really create something for yourself, because if you create something for yourself, I mean, who's going to fire you? You know, who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop you from being innovative and creative? Only you can do that. So,
yeah, they can't take it away. So yes. You were saying that your family is very strict. They had expectations. Yes. So you were saying generally, what everyone in what they do, what yes. exactly did they want from you? Or what did you actually go to college for that was their picking, if that was the case?
Okay. Well, this is a wild story. So for those that don't know, I changed my major 5 times. All right. So I first initially went to college. I was supposed to be a physical therapist.
Wait, what? You were supposed to be?
Yes,
a physical therapist. So this is something you were told?
Yes, and this is actually a major that was chosen for me the day I actually, before, you know, school started. So I went to Felician College 2004. You couldn't register online. Your parent comes up with you to the school. You test out for English and math. Then you go to the counselor. You know, you take out all the paperwork, the pamphlets, the booklets. You pick the major. They pick your classes. They do all this for you. There's no, I get online with my laptop and do, no, it was none of that. So yeah, my dad went up there with me, you know, filled everything out. Like, I don't even think I did the testing. I didn't fill anything else out. Like, I think wow. He wrote my name and everything.
Okay, so then you're there. You're doing the major he selected for you. How do you end up yes. changing 4 more times?
Oh, man. So even while, all right, so this is another. So I ended up, so when I graduated over 3.0, but that took work. I'll be honest with you. My first semester in college, like, people going to look at me like, what? I had a 0.70. And every fall semester, I would do.
I just want to stop you there. I'm sorry. Yeah. I want to stop you there. You're saying that people are going to look at you crazy. I think that a lot of people don't confess their truth about how everything really transpired when they first got there. I think there are a lot more people in your boat than you think. All right, go ahead. I apologize.
No, you're good. So yeah, GPA was struggling. I was doing terrible. I just wasn't into it. Like, I never liked science as a kid. Mm-hmm. I never liked math as a kid. So the fact that you're wanting me to pick a major that's heavily in science, it just didn't go well with actually what I like, what I'm actually really good at, what I'm passionate. When I would open up a science book, whether it's biology, chemistry, I'm falling asleep reading it. Like I could be four pages into it and I'm just like, nah, this is not speaking my language. This doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
So I immediately like, yeah, I have to change. Like I have to change my major. And yeah, it was crazy when I changed. It
wasn't wow. good. And so you ended up graduating and what followed there? It's how do you then confidently look at your parents and say, yeah, nah. How do you do that? How do you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in my dorm room, conversations with myself. I mean, I'm like very honest with myself. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. I know when I know when I make mistakes and when I need to, either apologize or change something about myself. I really have those internal conversations with the good, the bad, the ugly. Like I'm one of those guys. Like I keep it honest. So I just had a conversation with myself. Like, do you see yourself even say on a doctor end, like, do you see yourself with a lab coat on? Do you see yourself doing, that's not me. Like, I know that's not me. So I had to be real with myself. Like, it's not going to work. They didn't like it, but it doesn't matter. I'm the one in the classroom. That's just that was my approach.
Okay.
When I get a check, it's going to have my name on it, not their name on it. Okay. So,
Okay. So from there, what was leaving college? What did you go into? Because where did you pick up DJ?
All right. So I'm a disclaimer. This movie is a movie. You probably heard of it. It's called Juice.
Uh-huh.
Movie called Juice. The scene when Omar Epps is DJing in his bedroom. He's getting ready for the DJ battle. Yeah, I was like, yo, I know I could do that. Like, I love music. I know I could do that. And I saw this I think it was like 90. I know the movie came out 92. I think I saw this like 95. But even back then, I was like, yo, I want to be a DJ. Like, I was taking the cassettes, recording over everything, making my little mixtapes and all that. But I was like, yo, I want to be a DJ. Even when like Napster was out, I was the guy making the mixes, bringing them up to middle school, high school, trying to sell music that wasn't even mine, like for $5. Like I was that guy, bear share, download everything, try to sell it. So I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was just like, yo, get your money together, buy your equipment. So I actually did buy equipment undergrad. So I started DJing undergrad in college. But yeah, I just knew this is for me, how it made me feel. You know, you're DJing, people are hovering over, they move into what you're playing. Like you're controlling the whole environment. You're making people have a good time with your music. Like, who wouldn't want to do that?
Right, right. So who wouldn't want to do that? What did you do after you left college?
So after I left college, I actually came home for a couple months. Whew, I came home. I was working at a temp agency. I was working in, what was I doing? I was working at a temp agency. I think I was a mortgage loan lender. Crazy.
Okay.
I did that for a couple months and I was like, yeah, this is not going to work. Like even the whole, like, I don't know. Like when I would work 9 to 5, even the conversation was always stale. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, with 9 to 5, people who work 9 to 5s, their conversation to me is very odd. And it's not like, it's like they're not driven to do anything else. The conversation is very stale. I just don't like it. So for me, I was like, yeah, this is not going to work. So I tried to just straight up move to New York. And yeah, my parents just, nah, they wasn't having it. Like they actually took the insurance off my car and everything. Like they were doing certain sabotage.
That's when they had an issue.
Yeah, they were doing certain sabotaging things. So then I actually ended up applying to go to grad school for a school that actually I didn't have to take the GREs or anything. I didn't have to take GMATs or anything. So I was like, yo, that's my ticket to New York. That's my ticket to everything. So,
yeah. So you figured out a way to get to the space that yes. you needed to do what you needed to do. Yes. So you were going to be able to satisfy what they wanted by still going to school and satisfy what you wanted. But tell us some of the other careers that you have held alongside of spinning those records.
Yes. So school teacher. I worked at an ad agency. I was a media buyer. out in Canal Street in Manhattan, one of the top independent advertising agencies in New York. Whew, what else? I was a social media manager for a startup company that was trying to compete with Instagram back in 2012. What else? I mean, I felt like I worked in publishing too as well. You know, I still like music related, but radio. I mean, I do voiceovers, but
yes.
Yeah, I feel like I've touched. Yeah, I feel like I actually delivered pizza in New York, but I did that for a day and quit because I was like, yeah, come on, man. Like, this is not, I actually cleaned. All right. So I won't say I cleaned homes. I tried it for one day. The second home, I was like, yeah, I got in my car. And I was like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, this is not to say beneath me, but it's like, my purpose is way greater than this. I can't be cleaning homes. Like, what is this?
Your purpose is greater than this. So I believe everybody has different purposes. Yours kept leading you back to music.
Yes.
So how do you now live that out? Where is it taking you?
Oh, man, it's taking me all over. Like, literally, you call me a traveling DJ. Like, I barely DJ in my home state. But I'm all over. I'm in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New York, Maryland, D.C., Delaware. I was even, you know, that's Pennsylvania, but as far as Pittsburgh, I've been in Mexico. I've been in New Orleans, even my, you know, my native land. I DJed out in Nigeria. Like, it's taken me. Take me a lot of places, so you know, great opportunities too as well.
I'm confused. And you still have all your teeth from this strict household that you were brought up in. How do you confidently walk in what you know? It's like, listen, I've tried, I've done things, this is it. How do you live day to day?
That's a really good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, you gotta have faith in you. Honestly, I'll say this: anything you're doing, whether even if you're working for somebody, you gotta have faith in yourself. You gotta have belief. Of course, this is the world. This is reality. People are gonna doubt you. People are gonna say you don't know what you're doing. But it's you that's actually doing whatever you want. You have to do it. So it's like, you can't allow people to dictate your life, live your life for you. You got to do what's going to make you happy, what's going to feed you. Because at the end of the day, if you get caught up in doing what people want you to do, you're going to be a miserable person. And why does their opinion even matter? Like, at the end of the day, because, like, look at it. Like, are you telling other people how to live their life? Are they following what you have for them? No, so go out there and go live your life. That's how I internalize it. I got to do what's best for me.
Expound on, do what's going to feed you. For some reason, I don't believe that you're referring to food.
No.
Expound on that. I'm like, wait. Yes.
So, do what you love. So if you're a person who loves to use your voice, you love to talk. That could look like in many different ways. That could be voiceovers. That could be podcasts. You could head up in the radio space. Hey, you want to go live every day and talk to people. You want to motivate people, inspire people. Like, that can look in so many ways. You want to be a public speaker. You want to mentor the youth. You're using your voice. Like, you want to be a teacher. Like, it can look like in so many different ways. So literally go out there. What you like helping people. Maybe that's community service. You know, it can look like in so many different ways. Maybe that's, you know, giving back to the homeless, or, you know, creating clothing and feeding the homeless. Like, that could look like in so many ways. So you got to do exactly what you love, what you wake up every day and like, yo, I want to go out and do this. That's what's going to feed you, doing what you love to do. And then, you know, hopefully the money will come in, you know?
Yes. Well, if you're wise, I feel like things have changed. So what's changed from you being a kid and listening to the radio? How many opportunities are there now with how things are? Because the business is not run the same way.
Yeah. So, you're so right. Everything has changed. Like, You can even purchase your own radio station. You can go get the license. Once you get the license, figure out how you want to format it. Like, you can literally do anything you want. So say if I wanted to say, oh, I'm going to stop taking gigs outside. Okay, I can go on Twitch and start my own program, start my own radio show. I mean, shoot, we had Isaac Hayes on our fan base with MMU fam. I can go on fan base and DJ and go get money off of that. Yeah. Like, I can go on YouTube and play music that is actually not copyright. You know, I can go play that and still make money, make mixes and still make money with that and get the watch hours. This can look different in so many ways. Like, you don't have to do anything the standard way. There's so many apps and technology for that.
You don't have to do anything the standard way. Yes. You don't do things the standard way. Why is it that you're not with a radio station anymore? Because you were a DJ for several stations. Why is it that you chose not to? And is there anything that other standard that you have that kind of sets you apart from other DJs?
Yeah. So, all right. So the reason why I'm not at any radio station, the last station I was at was Philly's Favor. I couldn't be my authentic self. It was more of a sense like, you know, this is a radio station. Everybody has to operate like this. And I'm not trying to, you know, be rude or anything. Like, I don't know. I just feel like for me, certain rules are meant to be broken. I'm going to do my own thing regardless. If something doesn't feel good to me, I can't continue to keep doing it. I just can't.
Certain rules are meant to be broken, sir. I think you should get that t-shirt made. You should have that hat. Now that I mentioned that t-shirt and that hat, please tell us what that is.
Yeah, so speaking of my t-shirt and hat, No Stress Zone Entertainment, that's my company. That's my entertainment company, but also my DJ social emotional learning company too, where we teach the youth how to DJ through social emotional learning.
Okay,
yeah, this company is...
I'm going to yield the floor to you so you can, tell them all the greatness of you and all that you serve the public with.
Yes, man. So, ladies and gents, man, we're serving the youth. We're empowering the youth. We're letting them know there's other ways out here to make money, especially through entrepreneurship. A lot of people, when they think of DJing, they just think of music, but it's an emotional connection. You know, music allows you to express yourself in certain ways that other areas don't allow you to. So empowering the youth through DJing, that's what we're doing. We're teaching it through social emotional learning, but also too with the company. You know, we're DJing events all over, not just local. We're doing big corporate stuff. We actually were involved with Carnival Cruise Line. So that's why I was out in Mexico and New Orleans. But not even just that, voiceovers. One of my big clients is Delaware Lottery, Old Navy, T-Mobile, Pico Energy. Like, the doors have been open. And it's really for me using my voice and expressing myself and really allowing myself to use my gifts to bless others. Like, I've been so blessed. And again, if you're looking for a high energy, a corporate level DJ that's going to create these memorable moments, you got to tap in with me. You got the email. It's ikenwoga@gmail.com. Social medias is DJREESE_. You can follow me on all platforms. But yes, I mean, we're really out here. We're striving. And also, we got the podcast too. Now, our main focus is beginner DJs, but we're not just empowering the beginner DJs. We're empowering the DJs who are lost, who haven't figured it out yet, who are not really getting booked. We're giving you practical tips. We're bringing on expert DJs who are out there killing the game. They're taking their DJ game to the next level, but we're letting you know how you can do it. It doesn't have to look one way. We're giving you options. We're giving you the solutions too. So definitely tap in with my podcast, We Create the Vibes Podcast, where you can find that on Red Circle, YouTube, all different platforms as well, Spotify, Apple Music. So if you're trying to level up in the DJ industry or you're just getting started and you're lost, you're confused, make sure you tap in with the podcast and tap in with me especially.
All right. You heard it here first. You can follow DJ Reese at DJ Reese _. Sir, I want to thank you for being here. You have given so many great confident gems and jewels. Do you have just one more to share with the people?
Absolutely. And I got to say this to everybody. If you're listening out there, follow what you want to do. Honestly, people's opinions should not matter. The only opinion that matters is your own. So please do not get lost up in the noise because there's so many people chattering and talking. Listen to yourself. You know yourself better than anybody else. So follow you, not everybody. Don't follow the crowd, follow you.
Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the adults who are telling you that the thing that's in you that you're trying to smother, kill.
Yes.
Doesn't exist. It does. So DJ Reese, I want to thank you for joining us at this time. It is awesome that people are able to hear they usually just hear the voice introducing different songs and transferring that energy that they have to make the room move. So it's nice to actually hear the DJ cut the music off and just say exactly, speak from their heart, what that is, what drives them, what gives them that energy. I know that there's definitely people that will be touched by this episode for years to come, decades to come. I thank you for taking the time. I really do.
No, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I mean, anytime you get an opportunity to sit down with the confidence coach, come on now. Can't pass that up. So no, thank you very much for sharing your platform with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. All right, everybody. That's it for this episode. Listen, let the music play. The soundtrack of your life is up to you. What do you want to hear? What do you want to see? What do you want to do? Don't allow anyone to stop you. Do that thing. You got it. See you next time.